Samaria, a sorcerer, and the Spirit.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
Welcome to Bible Glitter and Glue once again as we look through the book of Acts. We're kind of enjoying this study, David. I'm learning a lot. We've learned about the early church. And here we are today. The church seems to be branching out.
Yes. Beginning of chapter 8, Stephen was martyred. And that day, a great persecution broke out, and Saul was the leader of this persecution, and it says the church was scattered. And our story today in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 25, we're going to read about one of these church members that was scattered. Now, we've already been introduced to him earlier in chapter 6. He was one of the seven. We're talking about Philip. Here is Philip going about preaching and teaching about Jesus. So here's a man of many talents. He could serve Greek-speaking widows, full of wisdom and the Spirit, and now he is going about preaching about Jesus. Mary, why don't we read the text today? Let's just read it in sections. So we'll read verses 5 through 13, and we can have a conversation about that.
Oh, that's good. And that's just particularly about Philip and his trip to Samaria.
Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached about the Christ. The people there heard Philip and saw the miracles he was doing. They all listened carefully to the things he said. Many of these people had evil spirits in them, but Philip made the evil spirits leave them. The spirits made a loud noise when they came out. There were also many weak and crippled people there. Philip healed them too. So the people in that city were very happy.
But there was a man named Simon in that city. Before Philip came there, Simon had practiced magic. He amazed all the people of Samaria with his magic. He bragged and called himself a great man. All the people, the least important and the most important, paid attention to what Simon said. They said, "This man has the power of God, called the Great Power." Simon had amazed them with his magic tricks so long that the people became his followers. But Philip told them the good news about the kingdom of God and the power of Jesus Christ. Men and women believed Philip and were baptized. Simon himself believed and was baptized. He stayed very close to Philip. When he saw the miracles and the very powerful things that Philip did, Simon was amazed.
Philip was having some success in his preaching. He goes north from Jerusalem to the region called Samaria.
And this is not Jerusalem in a lot of different ways. Samaria is a different place.
It is. Samaria was an area north of Jerusalem. It was north of Jerusalem, Judea, and south of Galilee. So it's sandwiched in between those two places. It's called Samaria because a lot of the population in that area were Samaritans. Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. They were sometimes bitter enemies.
But the Samaritans were Jewish, really, weren't they, David?
Well, they were partly Jews. The Samaritans really emerged several centuries before when the Assyrian army came and destroyed the northern kingdom, Israel, carried off many of the people into captivity, and they repopulated the area of northern kingdom with other conquered peoples. And so, you know, the Israelites who were left married these other Gentiles, and so their offspring later became known as Samaritans. So they're half Jews. From the Jewish perspective, they were ethnically
unclean.
Unclean, maybe? Yeah. They were racially impure anyway, from the Jewish perspective.
So right off the bat, we're faced with something different here in the early church. They're going into strange territory. They're going somewhere where they wouldn't usually travel. But Philip is determined to take the good news to Samaria. I think that's a wonderful thing.
It is. And Jesus did some previous work in Samaria, too. But not only did the Jews consider the Samaritans racially impure, but they were religiously inferior because they only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses, and they rejected the rest of the Old Testament. And kind of two strikes against them. And another thing about the Samaritans, they were also themselves looking for some future, they didn't call him the Messiah, but some future restoring figure who would come and would make clear about the future of God and future of God's people and God's work. And so they were looking forward to someone coming as well.
And yet they were in a place where, it's interesting, this magician had free rein. He seems to have talked a lot, shown a lot of magic tricks. People followed him. It says here, the great power. I'm not thinking that's God.
No. He had a reputation. He had influence over the people.
This black magic, in a way, it was sort of a mixture of teaching, but people listened.
You know, one thing about the ancient world is that generally the ancient world was a very superstitious place. The people were very superstitious, and they were fearful. They were fearful of all these spirits that lurked about, and most of these spirits were considered evil, and then they tried to do harm to people. And so people actually were very fearful. And so people wanted protection from these evil spirits. They wanted to know how to deal with them. What they would do, they would go to someone like Simon, who was familiar with the magic, and he would come up with some incantation, or he would probably sell amulets and charms, magic spells, even curses, all of these kinds of things that people would use in order to protect them from these evil spirits that were everywhere. They would provide people with protection and would keep them safe. And these things would help them to negotiate their world.
Well, it sounds like a little bit of confusion about God and about truth. And that's probably reflected in the fact that these were not seen as pure Jews. All of these things were going on here in Samaria. And here comes Philip. And Philip has an alternative to all of these things they'd been hearing, and they had never heard this before. Philip comes with the good news about Jesus Christ. He comes telling about a power more powerful than anything they had ever seen before.
That's right. It says in verse 7, many of these people had evil spirits in them, and Philip made these evil spirits leave. You see, by contrast, the most that Simon could do was to sell someone an amulet or a charm, some magic which would ward off evil spirits or protect people from. But here's Philip, because he has the power of Jesus, he is able to exorcise the spirits out of people. The message he had come with and the person behind the message had power over these evil spirits.
Well, there's a big contrast going on because the people were familiar with Simon and what he had taught, and they'd seen him do these magic tricks, and those were good enough. But it says here in the scripture, they were tricks. They weren't true power, were they? And here comes Philip preaching Jesus and showing healings and miracles. And like you said, casting out evil spirits. Right away, they saw this was different. They had listened to Simon, and now they are listening to Philip, and they see immediately this is the right way. I have a lot of admiration for Philip coming to this strange place to preach this message. Things had not gone well for Philip's friend Stephen. Stephen had preached, and he'd been stoned to death. And here's Philip going to a strange place, to people he doesn't know and maybe isn't even comfortable with, but he boldly declares Jesus Christ to them.
He does, and his message about Jesus was so powerful, and his miracles were so powerful that even Simon himself was impressed. And Simon himself, it says in verse 13, believed and was baptized. He stayed very close to Philip. He was amazed when he saw the miracles that Philip was doing.
I think if we ended the story right there, David, this would be a great conversion story, and we would just think of it as that. But this second section, this next part of this story, sort of brings some of Simon's true motives to light. And I think we should read that next, because I basically have this story in two parts. One is Philip going to Samaria, and now we're going to learn about when the apostles, at least Peter and John, when the apostles come to Samaria. Let's read that. How about you start us out, David, with the main part of this, and I'll finish us up.
Okay. Verse 14. The apostles were still in Jerusalem. They heard that the people of Samaria had accepted the word of God, so they sent Peter and John to them. When Peter and John arrived, they prayed that the Samaritan believers might receive the Holy Spirit. These people had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Spirit had not yet entered any of them. Then, when the two apostles began laying their hands on the people, they received the Holy Spirit. Simon saw that the Spirit was given to people when the apostles laid their hands on them. So he offered the apostles money. He said, "Give me also this power, so that when I lay my hands on a person, he will receive the Holy Spirit." Peter said to him, "You and your money should both be destroyed. You thought you could buy God's gift with money? You cannot share with us in this work. Your heart is not right before God. Change your heart. Turn away from this evil thing you have done. Pray to the Lord. Maybe he will forgive you for thinking this. I see that you are full of bitter jealousy and ruled by sin." Simon answered, "Both of you pray for me to the Lord. Pray that the things you have said will not happen to me."
Then the two apostles told the people the things they had seen Jesus do. And after the apostles had given the message of the Lord, they went back to Jerusalem. On the way, they went through many Samaritan towns and preached the good news to the people.
Well, you mentioned earlier, Mary, that if it ended in verse 13, it would be like a great lesson, very positive, and then we have the rest of the story of Simon. But actually, it does end on a very positive thing, that Peter and John traveled through Samaria and continued to preach the message. And many people heard the story of Jesus and became followers. And so it ends on a good note.
Well, it does. And there's no guarantee that preaching the Word of God means that it's going to be a high all the time. Some people listen. Some people listen and go away. Some people obey. Some people accept. Some people turn away. It's a mixed bag here. And like I said, I think the second part of this, to me, is more of a pulling back a layer of Simon, and we're just learning more about Simon, what he does in other situations, how things play out for him in his supposed Christian life.
Yeah, there is somewhat of a debate about Simon. Was he truly converted or not? Well, I guess the text is really not clear on that. It seems to suggest that. But Simon definitely does not understand really what it means to be a follower of Jesus, who he is, and how Jesus is not only different, but superior to any spirit that may be.
David, I think it's really good to see this story in two parts, because Philip came and Philip preached Jesus. He was able to do miracles. People saw that. And we do know when people were baptized, as it says here, we know that people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism. The Spirit is involved. But then there's something very different, because the apostles, Peter and John, come from Jerusalem. And what they do is different than Philip.
Well, I think we should see this text as the Samaritan's Pentecost. Peter and John represent the apostles. And remember, Jesus wants all people to become followers, and that he always intended for all peoples to become part of the one people of God. We've already seen the gospel break barriers geographical barriers, moving from Jerusalem to Judea and now into Samaria. Also, ethnic barriers. So now the gospel is spreading out to Samaritans. It's not an easy thing, and there probably were some questions about how do we regard these Samaritans. And so I think the story with Simon and all what happens with Simon, I think the bigger picture is the Samaritan Pentecost, that the Spirit coming on the Samaritans through the laying on the hands of Peter and John is God authenticating that these are my people too. You know, they're to be counted as part of the one people of God, even though they were not Jews. And for us sitting on this side of all of this, it may be difficult for us, but to a Jew living in the first century who was a follower of Jesus, Jews have always been God's people. And for someone who is not fully a Jew to be part of God's people, that was kind of a new thing. So here is God's authenticating that these people are part of my people now, and they need to be accepted fully as part of God's one people.
I'm picturing back when Jesus commissioned these apostles to go and to preach. And he said the Spirit would come. That's why he told them to wait in Jerusalem. So the Spirit did in this huge, miraculous way, undeniable way. And that was through the apostles. So I think I understand what you're saying. So here in this same big, miraculous way, directly through the apostles, these Samaritans are also hearing. So it can't be denied. It is clear to everyone there that this is happening.
Right.
But David, I guess what I was really asking earlier was, okay, Philip came and preached Jesus and baptized people. But it wasn't until the apostles came that they laid hands on people and that those people then received the Spirit in seemingly a different kind of way. Do you want to comment on that?
When Peter and John come and lay their hands on the Samaritans, they receive the Spirit in verse 17. It wasn't for the purpose of them becoming a Christian. That's not how we're to read this text.
Well, they had already become Christians.
That's right, yeah. So this was something separate from that. So in what sense? Well, what Peter and John did was different than what Philip was doing. Evidently, Philip could not pass on this power. But Peter and John lay their hands on the Samaritans and pass on this power so the Samaritans could do miracles or can demonstrate this power that they have the Spirit. Because Simon sees Peter and John laying their hands on the Samaritans and he sees this power being given to them. Philip couldn't do that, but Peter and John could do that. This power could only be given from the apostles. And that goes back to Jesus. This is the authority that Jesus gave the apostles. So not everybody who had their hands laid upon them could themselves lay their hands on someone else to give this power. That's a difference we need to see in this. The International Children's Version could do better in its translation in this one part here. In verse 16, it says, "These people had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Spirit had not yet entered any of them." Now, that entered is not really a translation of the original language. The original language says, had not fallen on or come upon them. And that's different than entered. They received the Spirit when they became Christians. A manifestation of the Spirit, a miraculous manifestation, is different. And the reason, I believe, that Peter and John came to lay their hands on them, not so they can get the Spirit in order to be saved, that was something different, but that this would be a demonstration that God has accepted the Samaritans as part of his people.
I think it's really ironic, David. It says that Simon preached and taught about a great power, this kind of mysterious power, but it was evident right away that that great power was actually useless. What was happening here that day, first through Philip preaching, and then through these apostles, that is power, the power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The power of God is an awesome and marvelous thing, but also a scary thing. It's something that Simon wanted. He saw power And it's the dark side of power that seems to capture Simon. It's not the power to save. The power of God can do for other people. Simon is wanting that power for power's sake. He wants power.
Yeah, because in verse 23, it says, Peter says to Simon, I see that you're full of bitter jealousy and ruled by sin. Yeah, I think you're right. He wants to promote himself in this. He likes this reputation that he has. But it shows that he really misunderstands this power that he tries to buy. It was really common in that world also to buy your religious offices and that kind of thing. It seems to me that Simon really truly wasn't interested in becoming a follower of Jesus. He just wanted to use Jesus for his own personal gain.
And that's an ugly thing. It's easy to miss here, but Peter and John talk to Simon and they talk about what he's thinking. They do see exactly what Simon is about. They see his hunger for power and what he's trying to grasp and how he's totally grasping something that's just as dark as the magical powers that supposedly he had given up.
Yeah, Jesus is not just another power among powers. These other powers that Simon used that gained this great reputation he had, they're counterfeit. But Jesus is the real deal. He's not just another power.
He's not a magic trick either. You know, Simon was satisfied with magic tricks because all he was really after was that power. He could use these tricks to get people to follow him and listen to him.
Jesus is not just a stronger power either. Among many strong powers, he's in a category by himself. And he is the one that we should put our trust in because he has power over any other power.
I find it interesting, David, that as Peter and John address Simon, they're telling him to change his heart, but they're saying, maybe God will forgive you for thinking this. It's all hinging on Simon. It's hinging on where his heart is. Maybe his heart will go towards God. And God will forgive him. Maybe he will continue to just think of God as something to use, and he won't be forgiven. So we're left with not really knowing what Simon's decision is.
No, we don't know, but, you know, the ball's in our court. We're going to put our trust in the one real power that is over every other power, real or imagined, in our lives, in our world, or not.
This would have all been a really dramatic situation, I think, because first of all, the whole idea of evil powers, darkness, all of these things that were going on did not deter Philip. It did not deter the apostles. They just wanted to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, even into dark places, even into places they had never been, even to people that were different from them, even to people that the rest of the Jews really looked down on. They're crossing, like you said, so many barriers. And I do love the way this ends. They leave this place and they keep preaching Jesus throughout Samaria. This thing really is growing, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, Samaria.
You know, Mary, that is a great way to picture that. In a children's class or a children's context, how would you help children understand this story and help them to relate to it?
I do think it's good to keep going back to a map as we go through the book of Acts and show that Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. He rose in Jerusalem. The gospel was first preached in Jerusalem, but then it spread out. So going back to maps would be really helpful for this and all of these stories in the book of Acts. But for this particular lesson for older children, I think I would want to do something like a compare and contrast, maybe draw a line down the middle of a paper or on a chalkboard or whiteboard. On one side, Philip, and on the other side, Simon. And just compare those. Talk about Philip from what we read here in the passage with older children. Let them read through it again. What kind of things do we learn about Philip. He was good. He was preaching Jesus. He was healing people. He was helping people. All of these things. And then on the other side, we have Simon. He was also saying a lot of words, but he was not preaching Jesus. He was talking about some great power, whereas Philip did miracles. Simon did tricks. He just did magic tricks. So I think I would want to do that and talk about the difference. You may hear a great speaker, somebody say a lot of words that sound convincing, because that is something I noticed in this passage. The people are listening. They listened to Simon and they listened to Philip, but they, in the end, heard what they were saying. So I'd want to do that compare and contrast, but also I might just do a magic trick. Now, I do know there's some people, maybe listeners, that don't want to do anything to do with magic, but I think this is a time to talk about a trick, because that's what Simon was doing. It wasn't the power of God. I think I'd just find a good magic trick to do. And then after I do it, then reveal what the trick is so that the children see, oh, that's not actually power. That's just a trick. And then we'd be talking about what Simon was doing and how different that is from a miracle of God. So those are a couple of things I think I'd like to do for a children's class. But I do really want the children to understand there's a difference between the power of people and the power of God. What about in the adult class?
Yeah, I think what you talked about in the children's class, at least with older children, we can do in an adult class. On a whiteboard, you can just draw two columns, and on one side, write Philip, on the other side, write Simon, and just talk about the differences between the two. What is Philip like? What is Simon like? What do they do? So what do you learn about Philip? What do you learn about Simon? And just compare and contrast these two characters and just talk about that. And there's some questions you can ask the class. Philip goes into this city in the area of Samaria to preach the good news. What do you think is significant about him going to Samaria to preach the good news? Now, you might want to ask the class to think about what they know about Jesus and the Samaritans from the Gospels and how that relates to this story here in Acts chapter 8. And also, another way of looking at this, think about ethnically diverse people trying to worship together. Just picture the Samaritans with their background and the Jews with their background. How would they worship together? So what are some challenges these new Samaritan believers may face being embraced by these well-established Jewish believers? So maybe have a discussion about that. You can follow up with this. You can ask the class to ask themselves, what have I done to fully embrace others that are ethnically diverse from me? So those are a few questions to ask that comes out of this section of Scripture.
David, I actually think that's a wonderful place to end our podcast today, just examining ourselves about how we see ourselves in relation to other people. The Jewish people were bringing the Word of God to other nations. That was their purpose. God did not actually love them more than anyone else. He loved them as his people for the purpose of blessing all the nations. And here we have it happening. And for anyone to feel superior can really hinder the spreading of the gospel. I love this story. I love how the early Christians were going out and sharing the gospel to people like them and to people unlike them.
May God bless you as you speak into the lives of adults and children.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's word with children.